This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Month takes place each May, but efforts to recognize the contributions of people and communities of AANHPI heritages happen all year long. And since May this year, local work to bring light to early Chinese immigrants to St. Louis, including their lives and community contributions, has been underway. One of them is an honorary street naming in the city. Another is the 100th anniversary of Chinese graves at Valhalla Cemetery in St. Louis County. Both are cause for celebration. Here to talk with us about that are three guests. First, we have Janet Leong, St. Louis native and daughter of Wing Leong and the famous Leong family. Welcome back, Janet.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Next, we have Danny Poon, founder of the St. Louis Pan-Asian Collective and STL Events Director with the Very Asian Foundation. Danny, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And last but not least, we have Min Liu, Southern Illinois University Edwardsville Professor and Faculty Advisor of an Asian American Civic Scholars Youth Group. Welcome to you, Min.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us today. So the honorary street name I mentioned in the introduction is On Leong Way, and that will be along a portion of 8th Street in downtown. So first of all, what do you think of this designation? How does this make you feel, Janet?
It makes me feel really proud and just delighted that there's a recognition that there was a Chinese community that was very much alive and part of St. Louis and the business community, and that the recognition really is an outward sign that others now will know about it and also be able to learn more about the Chinese community.
Mm-hmm. Min, how about for you?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, I work with Asian American high school students in the St. Louis area, and this was such an exciting momentum because they care about the history of Asian American communities in St. Louis, and to actually have this renaming or honorary renaming actually permanently in that big part of the Chinatown history, I think is exciting for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Danny, I'd like to get your response too, and then can you tell us a little bit about what it took to get to this moment?
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, just like the others, I'm super excited about this, knowing that, yeah, this is a very physical, like, representation of Asian Americans here in St. Louis, specifically Chinese Americans. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to people seeing it, being able to kind of pique their interest of knowing, what does this mean for those who aren't familiar with On Leong Way, and be able to ask a little bit more of what does that look like for Asian Americans here in St. Louis?
Right. And you were part of the early work in making this a reality, right?
Yeah. Honestly, there was a lot of talks already happening before I even kind of jumped in. But back in October, I had met with Michelle Lee from the Very Asian Foundation, and just hearing about this shared dream of having a historical marker or some sort of honorary street name. And so with me being just nosy and just wanting to get involved, I started looking into some of what the process was. And honestly, the city government website has it laid out pretty well. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to put that all down and just email Michelle. And she was able to share what had been discussed already with her and Peter Tao. And so, yeah, from there, I feel like I brought the research. Michelle brought the connections. Peter and Min and many others brought just a really rich history behind the just kind of how important On Leong Way would be.
Right. So Janet, you are in Chicago. Was it that you were hearing about the efforts underway? And, you know, for you, Leong is part of your name. You have a very personal connection to the historic Chinatown and sort of the Chinese community here in St. Louis. What do you think it took for this to happen now?
I wanted to congratulate all those who participated and advocated for the naming of this street, because I think it's representative of, you know, the advocacy that that takes to be able to pull it to the forefront. And when I heard about it, my first reaction was, wow, that is really incredible that there would actually be a street that would be named On Leong. And it brings back childhood memories about the On Leong Association and parties that they would have, or that I would hear that they would have, you know, in the On Leong Society. And it filled me with both excitement as well as surprise in some ways that there would be just such an energy and excitement to be able to bring something like this to fruition, which I imagine was not always easy. And, you know, there was lots of probably roadblocks along the way. So I'm thrilled and delighted and congratulate all those who are involved.
Mm-hmm. Now, Janet, you were born and raised in St. Louis. And Danny, you too, you moved here when you were 8 from the East Coast. So you've spent most of your life growing up here. Yeah. What do you think it would have meant for you, Janet, to see that street sign when you were growing up here?
I think it would have been something that I would have been able to really be proud of, and I would have been able to talk about, and that it would have been a visible representation of my Chinese heritage. When I was growing up in St. Louis, we lived in a community where there were not a lot of other Chinese families. And so I think we were a curiosity, and I always tried to blend in and not draw attention to myself. So the fact that there would be a street with this name may have been easier for me to be able to point to the fact that, you know, I am Chinese, this is my heritage, and this is where my father and mother grew up or had, you know, their beginnings.
And we'd mentioned earlier that you are the daughter of Wing Leong and the famous Leong family. It has to do with a restaurant, an Asia Cafe, which was later called Asia Food. And it was the last business standing in St. Louis's Chinatown district, which was quite small, but very significant. What do you think your aunt, Annie Leong, who is the manager of the restaurant, sort of a community pillar, would have, if they were alive today, what would they say about a street sign that says On Leong Way there?
Well, my aunt, Annie, would be thrilled. She would be very proud. She was always the spokesperson for Chinatown. She was able to communicate both in English and in Chinese and had a very big personality and was well known. So if she were alive today, I think that she would take to social media and she would be able to communicate how wonderful this is and would probably post pictures of the On Leong Association and Asia Cafe so that people would have an appreciation of what it looked like back then and how different it is today.
Mm-hmm. Danny, there is a generational difference between you and Janet, but some of what you experienced, you know, Janet described sort of wanting to blend in. I mean, that is very difficult. For many different reasons. So, you know, what does it mean to you to have this street name? What does it also mean for all of St. Louis, whether they come from Chinese families or not?
Yeah. Honestly, as I picture myself looking at the sign once it actually comes up, it just kind of feels like a welcome home sign, the way that I see it. It's like welcome home to all the stories of the past and for us to kind of think more about the lives that were here, but also welcome home to Asian Americans who want to call this place home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been really exciting to think. I think growing up, I had to go to Chicago to get haircuts, to go like buy groceries because there were things that we couldn't get here. But yeah, I think it feels like this is a place that we can call home. And I'm hoping that other people, even if they're not Asian, are able to see the street and see that this is a place that St. Louis is really diverse and that we're working towards a more inclusive city and that we want to be able to hear all these different stories.
Right. Now, the sign itself, when is that coming?
That's a great question. We are currently in the works of trying to figure out how do we actually get Chinese characters onto the sign. And that's been a huge roadblock for us. There's been so much support, but there's a challenge of trying to figure out what company can actually print the character. So we don't have an exact date yet.
Mm-hmm. So it's news to come. Yes. So Min, you've been sitting here very patiently. Now, the second cause of celebration that we noted in our introduction has to do with an anniversary, and it's the centennial of the Chinese cemetery at Valhalla, which is in North St. Louis County. Now, before we get to the background on Valhalla, how is it that this honorary street naming and the Valhalla centennial, how are they related, especially in the context of, you know, the past couple of years, which have been marked by sort of this push for greater recognition of the contributions of Chinese immigrants and their families to St. Louis?
Right. I would say that as a faculty advisor for this Asian American youth group, I would say that in the last few years, we've definitely seen a significant momentum in the Asian American community in terms of advocacy, community representation, but as well as in history. So for instance, the one organization that hasn't been mentioned is the Missouri Historical Society. You know, their Chinese collecting initiative has been instrumental. So it was wonderful for me to bring students to actually volunteer for this initiative and for myself to be a member in this initiative. And through those conversations and collaborations, different initiatives, different ideas are coming up. You're talking about how they're connected. We talked about Annie Leung. I just wanted to say that Annie Leung's burial marker is in Valhalla. And whenever I bring groups of students to actually visit, we always make sure to stop by at her because she's one of those leaders that the students really connect with. Her story, her advocacy, her ability to kind of live and connect as a cultural ambassador between the two worlds. Mm-hmm. So.
How do students respond when they're there?
So usually when I first introduce this idea to a newer member, they are like, oh, cemetery, never been to. Because oftentimes these students are from immigrant families, so their relatives probably are not buried here in St. Louis. But when they see those names and when they see on the markers a, you know, address, because that's usually the case with their markers, they usually list the place of origin. Then they see like these are individuals that were buried here 100 years ago, but just like me and my parents, they came from a similar heritage. And so it's a wonderful sense of, like Danny said earlier, feeling like they belong here, feeling like there is a history they can connect to.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that this space, the Chinese portion of the cemetery, what does that look like?
So if you've been to the cemetery, it's really big. So it's off of St. Charles Rock Road. We have actually mapped and cleaned and photographed and documented about 300-400 Chinese burial markers. They're in a total of 6 sections. The most recent section that we archived is actually the original plot because it took us a little while to figure out where it is. Mm-hmm. So it was wonderful to actually identify the original plot that actually still has 2 burials that are from 1924, exactly 100 years ago. So It's really significant.
Yeah. We need to take a quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. Before the break, Min, you were describing what the Chinese section of Valhalla Cemetery looks like. And Janet, growing up in St. Louis, I understand that your family would visit Valhalla Cemetery on Memorial Day before heading out for a family picnic.
What do you remember most vividly about those visits, and what was it that you got out of those outings?
It was a really interesting mix of, you know, celebrating Memorial Day in the American way of having potato salad and fried chicken, and we would have a picnic with other Chinese families in Miller Park in University City. But before doing that, we would always go to the cemetery to pay our respects to the people who were buried there, my grandmother, grandfather. And what I remember was that, you know, it was being a young child, I wasn't really, familiar with cemeteries. It was the first one that I had ever been to. It struck me that we would have to go a long distance to get to the Chinese section, which was in the back of the cemetery. And only later did I realize that, you know, at one time, the Chinese were discriminated against, and maybe that was the only section of the cemetery that they could have. And then there were plots that were very simple headstones that were in the ground. And, you know, we would walk around and read the names, and these were individuals, these were men who were here alone in St. Louis, making a living as, you know, laundrymen or working in restaurants. And I remember that their headstones were not really well taken care of. They were dirty, you know, sometimes grass or weeds would be growing over them. And only later did it really strike me that, you know, these people, these men died alone in this country. And then the other thing I really remember were some Chinese families would make chicken and food and bring it to the cemetery so that the family members who were buried would have something to eat, mm-hmm. and that they would be well cared for. So it was a mixture of Chinese tradition, an American holiday, and then just having this sense of, in some ways, it was a sad place, but now that I've had time to reflect, it made me realize that, you know, these individuals in many cases did not have families here in the U.S. and came here to send money back to their families and died here alone.
Right. Now, Janet, as you were talking, Min here in the studio was nodding vigorously. And between the time you used to go with your family on Memorial Day and the time Min, you and these young students went to look for some of these burial sites, unfortunately, there's not that much of a difference in the condition, right? Are there some stories maybe that you have to share about the way you and your student group have sort of brought this area back to life, as it were, and about some of the notable burial plots and stories you found?
Right. So on July 15th, 1924, that's when the original purchase of the original plot was made by the Chonghua Association. So three of their trustees, including a name that many of us know well, is Zhou Lin. He was then the president of the Onliang Association. So Chonghua Association purchased the plot, and then Onliang Association over the following decades actually took care of it, managed it. And some of your listeners may be aware of a Mr. Don Ko, who is today in his 90s and was kind of the last guardian of the Onliang Association. He still today, he continues to visit and take care of that, the original plot. But what I'm trying to say here, I guess, is, you know, I'm 100% aware of exactly what plot that Janet was referring to. That's exactly where how my students felt as well when we visited. For a very simple example would be, we documented, archived all of those hundreds of plots, right? But then about a year later in 2023, we realized that actually two of those plots on the far end were actually gone, they were gone missing. So we had to bring our photograph, we had to go to the management and say, these were there, but they're not there anymore. I think it was due to major flooding or overgrowth of weeds. Thankfully, the management was able to actually replace them. But that speaks to the importance of a continued community presence in actually taking care of the plots and, of course, honoring those legacy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Danny, you have been to the cemetery, right?
Yeah, I've been a few times.
I mean, what is it like for you to be there? I mean, given what you shared about a sign in downtown, and then we're talking about a cemetery in North St. Louis County. What were some of the, I guess, the emotions or thoughts that went through you as you visited this Chinese section of the cemetery?
Yeah, honestly, the first time I actually went by myself, and that was actually pretty emotional. I think at that time I learned about it. I was also just thinking about how it was hard for my extended family to be back in Macau and like not having extended family like that. And so as I was walking around, it was a lot of just spending time with them, asking like, what is your story? And mm-hmm. I was just trying to clean it up a little bit by myself, literally physically uncovering their names
right.
by taking out some of the weeds. But thinking about how, yeah, each of these people had a life here in St. Louis, mm-hmm. there's families or some sort of community that supported each other.
Yeah. So we fast forward to now, and this Sunday, in fact, there will be an event to recognize the centennial of the Chinese cemetery at Valhalla. Why are you doing this, and who is this event for?
It's an excellent question. We want to do this because we want to, you know, in a way almost like be able to say to the community, you know, including many, you know, descendants of folks who are buried at Valhalla, maybe they're in California, maybe they're somewhere else in New York City or Chicago. We want to let them know that here in St. Louis, we continue to honor the legacy of the Chinese community that existed here from, you know, 1857. And I think it's also an opportunity, a perfect timing for us to say, hey, come back. Let's, you know, join this momentum to see what we can do. The students want to actually establish a permanent marker there. So that's part of their motivation for actually hosting this event is to let people know, hey, we are halfway of fundraising towards that goal. Help us, help each other. Let's work together so that we can have, you know, a permanent marker in St. Louis County to speak to that history as well.
Mm-hmm. So Min, you work with students, but you do have children as well. How old are your kids?
My kids, Max is 16 and a half, and my daughter Maggie is 13 and a half, and they both have been involved in this work.
Right.
So my daughter, for instance, whenever she visits, one of her favorite burial marker to visit is this one-day-old girl, and she was very pleased to see that even the girl who lived only one day was able to get a marker at the plot.
Mm-hmm. So as we think about history and what is happening now, Janet, there are a lot of people who have little to no idea that there were Chinese immigrants in St. Louis a century ago, and that includes elder person Kara Spencer, who was one of the people who sponsored this bill. I mean, how surprising is it that people don't know?
Well, I think that it doesn't surprise me that people don't know, because in some ways, in the Chinese community, at least I was taught not to draw attention to myself or to call out things that would make me visible so that I wanted to blend in more. And so the fact that people maybe are not as familiar with this Chinese history, and this is maybe a generation ago because I'm a little bit older, where, you know, you didn't really talk about your story. You didn't really call attention to yourself because you wanted to blend in. The fact that people now are very interested is one, initially I was surprised that people would be that interested. And two, I'm really delighted that people want to learn more and that are so involved in the community and coming together to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. And Danny, very quickly, there will be a celebration, right, when that sign goes up?
Yes.
What else would you like to see happen that day?
Oh, man. I mean, if you can't tell, I think hearing stories is a key part, but I would love to hear Kara Spencer share about how important this was and just how, honestly, how pretty easy it was to get this going, and knowing that St. Louis is a place that I think has a diverse history and people just don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to ask when they just don't know it exists. And so being able to see communities build, connections made, to see possibly a historical marker come up in the future.
Yeah. Uh-oh. And just as a note, it was a unanimous vote by the Board of Alders on that. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.